you can see that the series is entitled From the Start. And so we want to use that theme throughout, but today we want to do this by going back all the way to the book of beginnings in the book of Genesis. So if you open with me there, amen, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, amen. Because here, what we're about to read is God's original design. Everybody say design. His intent. Everybody say intent.
Intent.
And purpose. Everybody say purpose. His original design, intent, and purpose from the start for mankind. And I have good news for you and I. That has never changed. That has never changed. So it's really good that we understand that from the start what God had planned for man. Amen. And we see here, and it says, and God says, so track with me one moment. We're going to do this a little differently today. Obviously, we're sharing together, and I'm always look forward to this, love. And so I know you just kind of jump in. And
is that what you want me to do?
I want you to jump in. Amen. Anytime, praise God, because you know me. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and so, amen. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, so on and so forth, over all the earth. Amen. And so what we see here is it says that God made man originally in his image and likeness. So what God has originally done, that hasn't changed. So mankind was created this way to be, in short, God's image bearers, mankind was. That means man and woman. There's only two genders, man and woman. They are man, mankind. Amen. Mankind is made up of that, man and woman. And God, male and female, and God has made man his image bearers. That's his original design, intent, and purpose. And remember, that has not changed. His image bearers, his representatives, carrying out his purposes and his plan. Amen. Now, notice it said here, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to go deep for a moment. Amen. Now, I don't want to lose you. I'm not going that deep, but I have a purpose. We have a purpose in doing this. Okay. So notice when God said, let us, amen. And so let us, God said, the word God there is the word Elohim. And the word God there, Elohim, is always the name of God, is plural. It's there for a purpose. Amen. Because when he said, let us, God is, as we know through revelation of the scripture, is three separate divine persons, each with different tasks, yet function is one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then listen again, God is three separate divine persons, co-equal, co-eternal God, each with different tasks, yet functioning as one, united in goals and purpose. Amen? And so the Godhead members and their individual functions are best seen two ways, in creation and in redemption. And so we see this, that God the Father in creation as well as in redemption originated the plan. Secondly, Christ executed the plan. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit reveals that plan. So when we see in man's redemption, when man fell originally, we find that in Genesis chapter 3, we'll just make mention of that. Here's what God did. God the Father created the plan to redeem mankind from Adam's fall. Second, Christ executed the plan. Christ, or Jesus, actually came and executed the plan by becoming a man and dying for the sins of mankind. Can I get amen? And then last but not least, third, the Holy Spirit revealed the plan. The Holy Spirit revealed the plan through the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament and through the writings of the New Testament apostles. Can I get an amen? And so what we have to do is that we have to think of this as three but one. in unity and purpose, intent. Think of unity of all three members and what God did. And God is like, God, like the word team, is one word made up of many who work together as one. Amen. And so we're sharing this because God gives us our first deeper introduction. Everybody say deeper introduction. If we want to go deeper in this, God gives us our first deeper introduction to this type of unity. Everybody say unity. How the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit operated as a team is revealed further to all of us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Turn there with me. And God said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Amen. So God gives us our first deeper introduction into this type of unity where the two beings, husband and wife, will also work together as one. How many know husbands and wives have different tasks and roles, yet functioning as one should be united in goals and purpose? And how many know that we will learn as husbands and wives our goals and purpose, even though our functioning and our tasks may be different, ultimately our goals and purposes should be for the same reason, and they should be running after God's goals and purposes for our lives.
Right.
And we need to understand that one reason that husband or a man and a woman should want to be joined together in holy matrimony is so that they can do together more together than they could ever do for God individually. Now, in other words, if marriage is a part of God's plan for your life and what you desire, you, through by being a team, can accomplish more together. It's not that you can't accomplish the plan of God for your individual life, but I see it over and over again, how we complement one another and how we get more together. We may have different tasks and functions, but it's united around the goals, God's goals and purposes for our life. And as we work together as one, then we accomplish them. Okay. Now, you remember this right here where it says, and there shall, therefore there, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Let's move over where this is echoed in the New Testament and take it a step further. Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, are operating as one, just like a team, in his plans and purposes, intent and purposes. And from the start, God's plans and purposes have never changed for mankind. Okay. And so God's plans and purposes for marriage and husband's wife, God giving man a wife, a mate, a helpmate, haven't changed either. And yet God tells us something beautiful here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. For this cause, he's quoting Genesis 2:24. Notice New Testament this time. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Everybody say one flesh. It goes on in verse 32. But this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. So the husband and wife marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. In other words, one team. This is how, just like the, in other words, God is saying, just like the Godhead works together, just like the husband and wife were designed to work together, this mirrors this great mystery of Christ and the church. And so the reason why we're talking about this together today is this, because we must all learn to walk together with God. Amen. And because that's God's highest. Okay. But we need each other. And also, and so what we will end up doing is, in every level, we're going to work together as a team and as one. And we're going to explain this as we go through. So once again, let's just start with, we know what God did, how he made us as well. But
so let me say this. Hold that thought.
Right.
You know, woman was created from the rib of man. Now, that doesn't mean that men have any less ribs. No, we all have the same amount of ribs. But that word rib right there, what that means is the ability to read between the lines. In other words, for advice. She sees things that the husband does not see. So she compliments him and helps him and makes him better than what he would be by himself.
So good, love.
She makes him look good.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not dumb all praise the time. God. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And then also in Genesis 2, verse 18, it talks about the helpmeet that God provided for Adam, a helpmeet, not helpmate, helpmeet. That means a strong military ally that sees the enemy. Are y'all getting this? So she's that extra set of eyes for her husband that he does not see or notice a lot of times.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Thank you, love.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Praise God. Is that okay?
Let me share this.
Okay.
You know, let me give you a good example, like a cowboy and they're riding in a stagecoach going down the dirt lane.
Just as and you the, start off and shotgun the, and all the men will get it. Praise the Lord.
And the woman is riding shotgun. She's an extra set of eyes that sees the enemy that he cannot see riding shotgun. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can see, can read, has the ability to read between the lines.
As a team.
Good advice. Yeah, as a team.
Amen.
Amen. We compliment one another.
Praise the Lord.
Go
Amen.
Ahead.
Amen. So we got eight eyes on us instead of just, amen. Some of y'all got that. Praise the Lord. You get that later. Eight eyes. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. So as we see here echoed from Genesis 2:24, there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, we see the great picture of the husband and wife marriage. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Amen. So the high calling that's on Christ and the church, in other words, Christ and the church, as Christ and the church are to be one. Amen. Husband and wife are to be one. Amen. And it's learning to walk together with God that we will experience the highest and the best in both of these, of us as husband and wife as being one, and as every believer in Christ walking in their part together with the other parts of the body of Christ. So from the start, God included everyone. And see, this is the reality. Whether you're so young, you're not married, or you've outlived your spouse and everywhere in between, married, single, for whatever purpose, all of this speaks to us all because God in his original design, intent, and purpose created us as individuals, but also created us in a way to fit in his original design. And in some form or fashion, we will always be working, not as just individuals, but in a greater proportion of God's purpose as with one another or as a team. And when I say, and as a team, it's not that we're not a team, but as a team, as one with another in the body of Christ, because I speak concerning Christ and the church as well. But when it comes back to husband and wife in particular, this would hold true for individual believers. But let's just talk about it for one moment as husbands and wives at love. But yet it is true for every believer that's not married yet. The truth is we need each other. Because we help each other.
That's right. We complement one another.
We complement each other. And it's more than you making me lunch. Amen. It's more than you washing my clothes and I, you know, and all those kind of things, or me cutting the lawn or whatever we do for one another and those kind of things. But we really need each one another because we help each other. We bring the best out of each other. And one of the things that that I find really significant about you in my life is you inspire me. Praise the Lord. And we need to inspire one another. And we need to pray for one another. Right. We get to do this. And yeah. And I know there's... We get to. And pray for one another, but also with one another. I think that's so important, you know, that we know as husbands and wives, we should be praying for one another. But there's times, men, that your wife needs you to pray with her, not just for her, with her. It's not just enough that we pray behind the scenes for one another. There's times that we need to pray.
And we do that.
And we do that. We spend way more time behind the scenes praying, amen, apart. But we have times that we come together and pray.
That's exactly right.
Plenty of times that we come together to pray. But we pray for one another, but we also pray with one another. Amen. And that's not just for as pastors praying for all our congregation, which we spend much time doing that, and for people and the things and the purposes of God. But we also need to do that, and we do that for one another. You are excellent at, and many of you know this and heard me say, and Pastor Debbie's great, when we have an issue or problem, Pastor Debbie goes right to the scripture and says, love, let's agree in prayer about this thing, and it'll be done immediately. Amen.
Very true. The prayer of agreement.
The prayer of agreement.
That's one of the powerfulest prayers between a husband and wife, and the devil hates it.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when two partners come together, husband and wife, and you agree together, when you pray the prayer of agreement, you ask and you believe that you receive, when you pray, you got it, it's done, then it's settled. And I'm telling you, it happens.
Amen. So... and it was just the other day that I don't even remember what it was because it happened.
Our mail
so
package.
Oh, it was a mail package.
It was delayed.
Yeah, I really thought that it was not only delayed. I thought I got scammed.
Yeah, and that's true.
I mean, I won't go into detail. I thought I got scammed, and I know what that means. If something like that happens, then you risk security on a lot of different stuff. And so I woke up in the middle of the night with a panic attack. I'll never have them, but I recognize it was the devil.
That's right.
And I had to rebuke it. Yeah. And so the very next day, I told Pastor Debbie, I said, you know what? I've reached out. This looks like, I'm sorry to say, here's what I thought. Go to her and say, this looks like, I'm sorry to say, I think I got scammed. But before I could even do that, she says, love, let's do this. Let's just agree that it's going to come. She said, no, let's just agree. And I said, before I could let the doubt come out of my mouth, I grabbed her hand, we agreed, and then the very next day, I got the thing that waited 2 weeks for. I got the confirmation it was on its way. It came in 2 days.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. It's the prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement.
Yeah. So the prayer of faith and that prayer of the agreement, you got to believe what you're praying for.
Amen. Exactly.
Praise God.
Right.
And so this is so important. That we see here this great teamwork of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are you tracking with me? Then we see God has never changed about that. That's how it, remember, the Father plans, amen. The Son executes and the Holy Spirit reveals. That's going to be true in everything that God does. But he made man with by his original design, intent, and purpose for God's purposes. What? To be his image bearers, representatives, amen, to accomplish his will and dominion in this earth. That has never changed. And God made man, and God gave man a female. He gave Adam, Eve, amen, both of them mankind, and it was for God's original intent and purpose to help him have dominion over this earth, and they were to operate as a team, the two become one flesh, one to operate in the intent, plan, and purposes of God, amen. We may have different tasks and functions, but we're united as one in goal and purpose. And there are God's goal and purpose. And this is what we want to make sure that you understand, that from the start, when we do things from the start, when we get started with God and have that, what that looks like, when we get started with God, we find out what God says about this, that God is a teamwork. He made man and woman to work as a team to accomplish his plans, not our own. Amen. And then God said, I'm going to put every believer, every person that fell, that I created, into Christ himself, into my body, and they're going to be the body of Christ, and they're going to become one, united in my purpose, intent, and going to operate as one as well. So no one is left out. We just have to know what God's original design, intent, and purpose is from the very start. And you know what? From the start, here's what we're going to find. All of us need a living, growing relationship with God and with one another, amen, to fulfill. That would include husband and wife, and that would include you and I in the body of Christ, because that's how we enter in a relationship with God. When we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we get put into Christ, put into the body of Christ. When we get married, we become a team. The two become one. When we get in Christ, we get in the body of Christ. We become one body in Christ. Come on.
Yeah.
Ultimately, to fulfill God's original plan for us as man, because God's plan for us as individuals and as people and as the church and as the body of Christ and as husband and wife has never changed.
No.
We're to be God's image bearers, his representatives, that's and carrying out his plans and purposes.
Yes.
Proverbs 19:21 is one of my favorite verses. It says, many of the plans of a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord, or the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. See, many of the devices, the word device there means plans. Man has plans. Man has ideas. But when we go back to God's original intent, where do we find God's original intent and plan at? In his word. When we find out what God says, we can find out that we may have a different plan that God has. But the moment we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we should surrender ourselves to God's plan. Can I get amen? We would find ourselves going in the opposite direction or in another direction of God. We could be going in our own plan, but now God says, you're going to find I have a plan, and my counsel, my design, and my plan is what's going to stand. Now, you can still do your own thing. You can still go your own way, but it won't fulfill God's. God created you and I in such a way that with him and with one another, if we would do it God's way, we're going to do way more together. How many know we're doing way more? Pastor Debbie and I are doing way more together than I could ever do by myself. I can just tell you, if you don't know that, I'm just telling you the truth. You may see me all the time, but I thank God for Pastor Debbie.
Thank God for you.
And I know it works both ways. Amen. We need one another. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have an individual task or assignment, but I'm telling you, when we join together, we are united together in the plan of God for our life together. Amen. We may have different responsibilities, sure, and tasks, but we are united and function as one by the goals and the purpose for our life. Yeah. Just like God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we got in Christ, this changes everything. When you and I get in Christ, what we find as well is not only in the body of Christ, do you have a significant part in the body of Christ, but being a part is so significant. But you got to realize this, everybody, you need the person next to you. You need the, if you're an eye, you need Come on, if you have an eye, you still need a hand.
That's right.
If you're a foot, you still, come on, you still need the ear. All of us have a part, but only a part.
That's right.
And from the start, God made it this way so that we're united. Everybody say teamwork.
Teamwork.
Makes the dream work.
Makes the dream work.
Now, I know nobody's running around the church today yet in this, but I can tell you, we'll become a mighty moving force if we learn to do it God's way.
Come on now.
And we will never be fulfilled as individuals or as married couples or as the church if we don't do it God's way. Everything begins with God and God's way. And for us today, from the start, let's talk about what we should do and how this is accomplished at the very beginning through our salvation in Christ. Because really the truth is you do not have, you're existing, but you do not have life until you and I give our hearts to Jesus Christ. Come on.
Yeah.
You're existing.
That's right.
But you and I, man's great quest, and you see it today, they're trying to live forever. It's called eternal life. They're trying to figure it a way to download your consciousness through AI and all these things, store your mind in the cloud. So if your body dies, your mind still lives. I have news for you. You're more than a biological creation.
That's
body.
Right.
You are a spirit.
Come on.
And until you understand that's who you are, you possess a soul, you live in a body, you're a three-part being. Man is more than a biological creation. He is a spiritual being first. He does have a biological part, and he has a body, and he possesses a soul. And when man ever leaves God out of the equation, he always fails.
Yep.
And always in man's wisdom, and sometimes people say, all this stuff about AI, and I'm not going to get off, love, I promise. All this stuff about AI, isn't it wonderful where it was designed? It just depends upon who's pulling the levers with that. If it's created to serve man under God's purpose, that's fine. But if it was designed and left in the hands of man, you better watch out. Because if it's just left in man's hand, then he will use it just like Satan will use any other or inspire man to use it for anything else that was his original intent was designed to help in man, but it would end up becoming man's own demise. So the foolishness, God said, I will confound the wise. So all those that are thinking they're going to live forever and accomplish immortality. You know, that's been man's quest all the way back to the Garden of Eden when he was kicked out. And God gave man the answer then, and it hasn't changed. Get your hind parts to Jesus Christ. That is our answer.
Amen.
I'm just cut it to the chase.
Amen.
You fast forward a number of years and you get ancient societies trying like the Epic of Gilgamesh and all the stuff. They had searches for the immortality. All of humanity has searched for this, but there's only been one person who came and bridged the gap between Almighty God and man himself, and that is the man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And from the start, God let us know that how we could have a relationship with him, and that has never changed. So everything begins at salvation. And then this is why we're calling it from the start, or this is why this message today in our series from the start, let's talk about if we're going to grow in our relationship with God, if we're going to grow in our relationship and marriage, and if we're going to grow at relationship with one another, look at your neighbor and say, with you. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we're going to grow, and some of those yous was your husband and wife. Okay. And some of them was your neighbor, which means a part of the body of Christ. Then what we have to do is understand how God designed us to grow together from the very start. And everything begins at salvation. In other words, the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, everything changes for the way God's original plan and purpose, because we get in Christ. We become one in Him. Amen. Yes. One with Him. Amen. When we got married, we became one flesh. I can just tell you, I was looking at your flesh, but I wouldn't think if we were one flesh when we got married. I was lost. It was BC. That was a joke. Somebody should have laughed. He was looking at me. Yeah. You got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, guys, that, you know, you're looking, thinking more about 36, 24, 36. You know, I'm thinking, you know, come on, you just be honest. I was thinking, they thinking about cut the cake and make it really special for the photo. And I'm saying, hurry up, eat this thing. I want to go on the honeymoon. Come on. That's called carnal. Amen. That's called fleshly. But that's being real with you. But because I didn't understand one flesh. And in that part, this natural side is, God made it. And so that natural side is best facilitated because I get in Christ. Now I know how to really treat her. I don't lust after her. I love her. I love her. I prefer to her. And she does the same. She respects and honors me. And so what we have to understand is that when we get, whether it's a relationship with God, a relationship with one another, or a relationship with the body of Christ, it all works the same way. We become a team.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, did you know we're on the same team? Praise the Lord. Look at your other name and say, did you know we're on the same team? Praise the Lord. Well, you are if you are a believer. Amen. And so what we want to do is talk about four elements that are key. We're going to talk about four elements in closing today that are key in a relationship with God, are key in a relationship as husbands and wives, and a key in relationships one with another or as church in the body of Christ. We're going to talk about four elements. Are you ready for them? Number one, should be no surprise, the Word of God. Amen. Because the Word of God is God talking to us. Amen. And it reveals God to us. Amen. When we get to know through the Word of God, God's nature and character, who He is, that means nature and character is who He is, who He really is, and what He really does, and you're not lied to about it, and you find that He's a good God and comes to give you life and life more abundantly, who He is and what He does, it changes. It changes you. It actually changes everything about you. Amen. It changes, hallelujah, it changes every single area of your life. Amen.
The husband can't live off how much word the wife knows, and the wife can't live off how much word the man knows, the husband knows. You each need to have a relationship with God personally and with the Word.
And with the Word. Your relationship with Almighty God will never grow beyond your relationship with Him in the Word of God.
For yourself.
My attitude towards the Word of God will determine the place that Almighty God holds in my daily life. And so the Word will transform your life. Every one of us will transform our minds. It's called the renewing of our mind. It will transform our emotions because our emotions have been scarred and hurt.
Come on.
You have been abused by life and people and circumstances, and the devil has made sure of that. Every single one of us have, and the Word has the power to transform every one of our minds, our emotions, and it has the power to transform our relationship with God. It draws us closer to God, and it has the power to transform our life, our relationship one to another, but also one to another in the body of Christ. Why ain't this church filled today? I can tell you why this church ain't filled today. One of the reasons, not the only reason, is because you got a lot of offended people in the body of Christ. They stopped going to church because Jesus stopped being the Lord. Now, they won't tell you that, but somebody else has become Lord because somebody else is going to church that they don't like. Somebody in church is going to that church that offended them. It's wrong that you got offended. It's wrong that they offended you, wrong that they hurt you, but it is wrong that you don't go to church or you stay at a church because that person, you're not going because that person's there.
That's true.
You should be somewhere, and you need to get that part right, because what you don't understand is if you stop doing what God commanded you to do because of what someone did to you, they have become your Lord, no longer Jesus Christ.
So good. Preaching real good.
Whoa, Pastor, you are preaching, boy. Now, nobody will run around the church because of that, but I'm trying to help us. We've all had a messes in there. And I think Pastor Doug reminds me from time to time, what's it talks about in Proverbs where if the crib is clean, in other words, if the stall is clean, if it ain't no poop in it, it ain't no animals in it.
Right.
There's sheep make mess. And that's not to say that we applaud the mess, but listen, there's going to be some sheep droppings to clean up every now and then. And it don't just happen in the nursery. Come on. We expect it in the nursery. I tell people, if I worked in the nursery, they'll have to be dialing 911 when the diaper change comes around. They be pushing the red button. You be seeing the numbers come up. Well, Pastor's in there today. There's a whole list. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you get what I'm saying. That's no excuse for that. What I'm telling you is what's going to transform and change this is the Word of God.
That's right.
It will touch every area of our life will be transformed. It begins with us. Like Pastor Debbie said, we have to take personal accountability. Well, if it's just, me and God are like this, but it's those people. You can actually tell how close you are to God by how you are treating or responding to other people.
That's true.
Amen. Every time. If you got problems with everybody, if you walked away from everybody, God never walks away from us.
No.
And so what I'm saying is we grow in our relationship with God because this really had to transform. This is how we transform our relationship with God, because this will not only change us, but this will change this because, I know, wives, you're praying for your husbands to change. But you know what God wants you to do? Be the first on the change list. That's it. Amen. Not that your husband don't need a change, but you take accountability for you, because you know what? That's going to make you respond, but because you need to respond when he comes and he acts like he don't supposed to act like. You still have to act like you're supposed to act like. Amen. And when we have a relationship with the Word of God, we learn to treat one another, instead of saying, well, you know what? I spoke to them and they kept walking. Well, did you think that they might not had heard you? Did you, not everybody hears as good as you do. Come on.
Always give them the best.
Always displease the best.
That's right.
Or did you realize if they didn't get to the bathroom in the next 10 seconds, there could be emergency on aisle number one. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, so just think the best and say, well, they're going to speak the next time. Praise the Lord or whatever. Or they didn't see me. I had people say, I saw you and you didn't even wave. I said, well, I didn't see you. And they knew if I saw them that I would have waved. Praise God. Amen. And so
you always believe the best.
You believe the best.
Every person. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're dealing with that day. Always move on the side of love and believe the best and give them your best.
Everybody say from the start.
From the start.
This is what you have to do. Get in the Word. Romans 12:2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh, actually, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It is not God's will for you to be emotionally incapacitated. It's God's will for you to know His Word so His Word can wash your thinking and transform your life. so you're not living in the past, in the hurt, and husband and wives, we could have hurt one another, but we have to learn to, from the start, there's got to be a starting place sometimes that we actually start over.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah. And take the high road and say, I missed it there. Love, will you forgive me?
Of course.
Amen.
Always.
Amen. And then, you, and listen, we have to learn to be, this for another message, but this is good today. Don't. We have to be quick, huh? Don't do it. No, 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 we need to move on. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, we won't get this. We won't get this in. It's not about getting everything in. It's about doing what we need to do. Number two, Holy Spirit.
We need to be patient and kind.
Yes.
With one another.
Thank you, love.
You have to exercise the fruit of endurance.
Mm, you do a lot of that.
I know.
She said, I know. I know. Praise the Lord. Slow down, love. Is what she said.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, glory to God.
Kick her back into first gear.
Okay, yeah. Yes, Lord. Now, well, you told me that this year, Pastor,
will be in a new gear for the new year.
Amen. So I'm only in fifth all the time, but sometimes you got to start from the start. You're in the first. Amen.
Nice.
Well, especially riding with Pastor Doug and his stick shift, and sometimes he takes off in second. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody say number two. Holy Spirit, you and I, just like the Word of God needs to be number one at the beginning of salvation, these four elements are key in a relationship with God, a key relationship with husband and wife, and a key relationship with one another. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be filled with the Spirit.
Boy, do we.
We're born of the Spirit when we get born again in salvation. Yes, you do have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to lead us and guide us into all truth. But we also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our comforter, our intercessor, advocate, standby, strength, our counselor, our teacher and encourager. Those nine things are who the Holy Spirit are. Some of them are revealed in the Amplified translation by the word paraclete, and two more are added by me. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is our great encourager. That's how New Living Translation calls him. And he is our teacher. The scripture teaches us he's all those things to us. So in the new birth, we get the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand he will lead us and guide us into all truth. And he is the one who, he is the author of the Bible.
Yes.
The author of the Word of God. And so it's by having a relationship with God in his Word. And every time we sit down to study this Word, say, Father, reveal to me this Word. Teach me your Word by your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to see. It is the Spirit that quickeneth and give life. It breathes life to this Word. It's called revelation knowledge. It is this that makes this book really a handbook for living. And it makes it the source of our change. Amen. And how we learn who God really is, it makes him real to us. And who we are in Christ, it makes that real to us. And how we're to treat one another, because you could be thinking you're right about it. And the Holy Spirit said, you are right, but you're wrong at the same time, dummy. Now, he'll talk to you to get your attention sometimes. Just to get your attention. And he'll say things that let you know where you're right and wrong at. Amen.
The Holy Spirit will help you in your marriage or any relationship if you will listen to him and give time to learn his ways and how he works with you and responds to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember years ago, wonderful couple on staff. I don't mind saying this, Pastor Gary and Miss Abby. Everybody love Pastor Gary and Miss Abby.
Amen.
I think we should put our hands together for them.
Amen.
I remember this example in a staff meeting one day. Something that she said, I felt that it was wrong. It wasn't completely wrong, but we both had sides of it. I told her that she was wrong. This is how that I wanted it. And scripturally, she wasn't completely wrong. But I added something to it, and it wasn't a debate or argument, but I just got to the point and just said, it's like this, okay? Well, scripture speaking, I was right. However, when later my conscience smit me so bad because the Holy Spirit said, what you may have said was right, but how you said it was wrong. They go and apologize. Praise the Lord. Have you ever had to apologize for anybody? Okay. If you haven't, then we'll have it. Well, if you haven't, then you may want to think about that the Holy Spirit may be leading you into that at some point in your life.
It's not just what you say to one another, but how you say it to one another.
Amen. So not only is he the great revealer of all truth, but he is the one that actually is going to empower us to live this life and to work together as the body of Christ. Not only as husband and wife.
Right, and our relationship.
And our relationship. This covers every aspect. We can think we can come to church and just avoid everybody, and not be kind, not be tenderhearted, not forgiving, and think that we're hunky-dory with God. But what we do to one another is a big deal. How we treat one another is a big deal. As much as lies within us, live at peace with one another. Amen. That we don't agree with sin and we don't agree with certain things, but that are evil and what God calls evil, we call evil. But what I'm saying is how we treat one another and it all has a purpose of God's greater purpose to work together, and the Holy Spirit will help us in this. Amen. There's so much more we could say, but we got two more points. Amen. And this third point is prayer. Let's talk about prayer, love, and how prayer is the third element, is a key relationship with God as husbands and wives and with the body of Christ. How prayer is one of these parts that's so valuable from the start. If we're starting over and starting to do things right, the Word first, Holy Spirit second, and now prayer in our life has to be a part.
Mm-hmm. Individual prayer, prayer in your own closet at home.
That begins right there.
That's where it starts. Prayer is communion with God. It's nothing hard. It's not difficult. It's communion, talking to God.
And I think one of the key things here is that we learn to talk to God and open and honest communication. But the thing that we need to understand is prayer is more than one way us just talking to God.
That's right.
It should be that God's talking to us. And prayer becomes a place where we seek direction from God in and want to hear what he has to say.
That's right.
Amen.
So it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue.
Yes, thank you for helping me out with those big words. Amen. Praise the Lord. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. Because it takes training, too, to have to learn to stop and listen, because we always want to get in the prayer closet and we're talking and saying and praying. But then we don't take the time to stop, get quiet.
Yeah.
You're quieting, you're getting quiet, and you're learning to listen from within your heart. This takes time, because your mind could be going so many different ways and thinking about so many different things, and you have to learn to quiet that mind and bring your heart and tune into your heart and what the Spirit is saying. Remember, he lives and dwells in your heart, so he's going to speak on the inside, and it rises up through your mind and comes to you.
Yes, very good, love.
Not out here to you, up out to your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these three elements are key from the start in a relationship with God. What we do with the Word, what we do in receiving the Holy Spirit, and our prayer life. Number three, prayer is, we have to have a prayer life. Prayer is not something that we just do from time to time.
Do in crisis when it gets really bad, rough, tough.
Yeah, we don't just run to God in prayer when everything's going wrong. Prayer is part of our life. It's
intimacy with the Father.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's part of fellowship.
He desires to spend that time with us. How much more should we desire to spend that time with him in prayer?
So one of the great things about the Word of God, we should read the Word of God. Remember, the very first part is we reading and study the Word of God and depend upon the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to us. as we read the Word of God, if we read it consciously that the Holy Spirit's teaching us, we can use this as a point of prayer. There's many times I'll read things and I'll read it. Say, for instance, Matthew 6:33, it seek first the kingdom of God. I read that and it speaks to me. I'm reading that and all of a sudden it's speaking to me things. I'll begin that to make that a point of prayer. I say, God, thank you for showing that to me today. Thank you for help me to live this out. And you make what God has revealed in His Word by His Holy Spirit part of your prayer that you pray back. Because God wants to answer that and wants that to be real and moving in your life. That's just an example. You may be reading something like here's a good chapter to read all the time, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 covers so much, not just what you do with your body and what you do with your mind, but how you treat one another. And when you're reading that, a lot of times I have to stop and say, God, help me to be more like this.
Yes. Yeah.
Help me to be more hospitable. Help me to treat my brother and sister like, help me to love Debbie this way. Butter, Lord, oh God, I see my error. And I'm not running from God, hiding from God. God sees it. He's just waiting for me to want His help.
That's right.
Do you get it? We need Him.
That's right.
In all of this.
So true.
Amen. Praise God. And all of these elements that will help us from the start be and fulfill God's original design in our life, His intent and His purpose from the start for us to be His image bearers, His representatives, to have dominion and to do the things He's called us to do. His plan never changed. When man fell, He immediately had the plan of redemption, so it restores us back to this place. We need the Word. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the prayer. And now, last but not least, we need the local church.
Amen to that.
Because the local church is the place where you're connected in real time to the body of Christ. You need real time. Everybody say, you need real time. Look at your neighbor and say, you really need real time. Praise the Lord. It helps you to connect in real time.
Yes, it does.
It come on. It's where I call the rubber meets the road, because now you get to live this out with one another. It's where application.
Come on.
It's where application of the Word of God is lived out. It's lived out at home, but it's also lived out in church with one another.
And it should start at home.
It should start at home. And if it's done right at home, it'll be easier to do at church.
That's right.
That's why a lot of people don't want to come, because it's just another problem for them. Okay. But it shouldn't be, because you have to understand that life dulls us. But as iron sharpeneth iron, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a friend sharpeneth the counsel of a friend. I should come because I know I'm going to get sharpened. I'm going to get help. You know, it'd be awful dull if Pastor Debbie and I, week after week, sit here and talk just to a camera. And I mean, this way, I do that sometimes because I just have to. And I know I'm communicating to somebody out there and a lot of people out there. But if I just showed up and I never knew I wasn't talking to anybody that was ever going to listen, I wouldn't show up and talk. It'd be awful discouraging. You are encouraging. You never know how encouraging you are. And how you doing the Word, following the Holy Spirit, praying and being a part of this local church and a contributor in it actually inspires us. And so the truth is, we need the local church. I can just tell you these four elements Pastor Debbie and I have lived and we continue to live. They will never change. These are foundational stones in our lives that not only connects us to God, connects us to one another, but it connects us to you.
That's right. Because we need each other.
Yep. And because God's plan is that we can do way more together. I think about all the missionaries that are thankful for CFC. And I know that they would not have the same gratitude just toward Pastor Debbie and I if it wasn't for you. Because we are one.
Amen.
we are one. Those missionaries are smart enough to say, thank your congregation. Pastor and congregation, thank you. Because they know that just like, you know, a man would say, behind every good man, there's an equal but a woman. Okay? We know that in order for us to do, we have to be one. And what unites us in our giving, our purpose, our assignment, week in and week out, is God Almighty, His plan and His purpose, and us fulfilling the vision that God has for this church, which is to win and disciple people to Christ.
That's true. You know, the local church is your ark of safety.
It's the last day ark of safety.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's a place that you'll come to and you'll learn how to live. And
relearn how to live again.
Relearn how to live again. You don't stop.
And you don't graduate until you die. I just did the Amplified version for you. Praise the Lord. In other words, that's my Amplified to what she just said.
It's a place where you will be challenged.
Yep. Listen, if you're not being challenged, then it means that you are lukewarm and don't want what God has for you.
That's right. You have to be stirred up.
And I'm going to stir you up. We're going to stir you up. And if that rubs you wrong, then let's just turn the cat the other way so that the fur can go the right way. But sometimes, how many know we need our fur rubbed the wrong way? Because there's a lot of fleas biting us, and we think it's something else. But I can tell you, we need to get all the dander in the fleas out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because we've been petting them too long. We need to get to church where the oil and the wine or the medicine
now
put
and the
in.
Fire.
Come on.
Oil, what? Come
now,
on.
All
now.
Of these things. And there's, if it's done right, listen, it's done in a loving way.
Yeah.
But it's done in a challenging way. It's done in a way with which if we say what the Word says, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with that. Amen. And it's been bathed in prayer, all of that prayer, that instead of people being offended, they might be offended and walk out, but we just say, go get them, Holy Ghost. Betty Ann Howe used to say, pastor of the church, you know, the hounds of heaven are gone after them, praise the Lord. That's what she said, the angels or the hounds of heaven. I'm going to stand up for a minute, look, because we're getting ready to close, praise the Lord. Amen. It's the hounds of heaven are going after them. What does that mean? It means that God is not going to let them get away with just running from Him and what's being said. Because God loves us too much to leave us the same. And so it's not my job to offend you, but it is my job to my job is to comfort the trouble and trouble the comforted.
I love it. Say it again.
My job is to comfort the troubled. If you're troubled in here today, it's my job to comfort you. Pour in the oil and the wine to help you to let you know there's a hope and a future that begins with Jesus Christ. Amen. And no matter what the devil is planning or done, he is a loser and a liar. God's intent is for you to have life and have it more abundantly. This is why this church exists, to win and disciple people to Christ, to help you, to pull in the oil and the wine. We're here to help you and love you and lift you up so you can win. But also, if you're satisfied, we are working so that you're satisfaction becomes
dissatisfied with being satisfied.
And I've come to trouble the comforted. So if we're just fat and happy, spiritually speaking, or a dry and lazy, spiritually speaking, it's my job not to keep you that way.
That's right. Stir.
Because God has got way more, and I'm going to tell you why. Because this body needs you.
Come on.
And you say, nobody needs me. Yeah. That's a lie. That's you listening to the devil because the body of Christ needs you.
Yes.
And if you're a part of this body, if you're a clog that ain't in the wheel, then that spoke is missing. And we need you.
Yeah.
And God, because God needs you.
That's right.
And these four elements are so important. In this last day, the local church, I can just tell you, you think I'm so passionate about the local church because I'm the pastor of this church. Let me tell you something, honey. I could be the first one around, run around this room, because this church helped disciple this funky talking white boy and help change his life and transform him into the person you see today. Helped it, because in 1986, at the age of 24, I was going my own way, going to hell, and didn't even know it. Thought because I was a good person, didn't he get caught doing bad things? Thought because I shook the preacher's hand as water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But at the age of 24, in 1986, on March the 30th, I heard a message and I realized I had been doing it my way. And it's my hope today, if you are like me, what I was then, and if you find it that you've been doing it your way, you will understand today that God isn't mad at you, just like he wasn't mad at me then. He loved me enough by his word, by his spirit, and someone praying for me at a local church who had a pastor that was bold enough to tell me about Jesus Christ and show me the way to him, that I could say, I surrender to you, Jesus. And now, by surrendering to you, I understood that God, when I found out that God had a plan for my life, and it was way better than my plan, and then I found out what his word says, that come on, Brother Ryan, you help us tonight. I knew something was missing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody told me the other day, love, and said, you know, a lot of times, Pastor, you say, well, I'm closing after this. They said, I never know. I always think, Pastor ain't closing until he calls on Ryan. Praise the Lord. Amen. So finally, my brother, thank you, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So everybody knows we're really closing now. So make sure you pay real close attention. I knew this, that God loved me enough to change to not only change my life, but to show me, listen, he's not mad at me. And he began to reveal to me through the word, through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, somebody praying. That's the beautiful part about being connected to a local church. Somebody's always praying for you. You and I need that. Thank God for people, not just the pastor, but the pastor should lead it. Down on their knees and praying for the saints, praying for a world that's dying and going to hell, praying for people and their struggles and their challenges, things that are set up as ambushments that we don't even see coming, the temptations and the snares of life, but we intercept them through prayer. And it all goes back to a strong, and where we end it, with a strong local church. We're not just a pastor and his wife and a staff and a leadership team, but each person being a part of the answer and the overall plan and purpose of God. That's where we're at today. I hope you understand that if that hasn't been part of the plan of God for your life, you could start over from the start. Let's not just stay where we're at. Let's kick the devil out. Kick him out of your life. You're the one who's the prophet and the priest of your house. Say, no more, devil. I'm going to do it God's way. This is God's divine formula, so to speak. He didn't make it hard. And we do it together, whether it's with God, with one another, Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing today. If you're here today, there's never been a time that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Think about it. Where will you spend eternity? Everybody wants to spend eternity in heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everybody will. Because Jesus said, broad is the way to destruction, and many will enter therein. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. So Jesus, even though it's his will for every person to be saved, he warned all humanity that the way to destruction was broad, and many people would find that way because they reject the only way, which is a narrow way that is so narrow, it only allows you and him at the same time to go through. And it must be you and him, because no one else can go through there with you. It means it must be a personal decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to return back to God's original tent for your life. And that is for you to know him and surrender to the God who created you. No one else qualifies to tell you about you except God. He says in Psalms 139, he fearfully made you, but he made you. He formed you, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He said the thoughts that he thinks towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil continually, like the sands of the sea. He's proved and demonstrated his own love towards us, as Romans chapter 5 and 1 John chapter 3 and John chapter 3 tells us, by sending his son who died as a sacrifice for us. And all we have to do is believe that message, repent of our sins, and invite him into our heart. And we start over. And we start this time in God's plan. And the truth is, you only have that chance in this life. Sometimes people say, well, I want to live a little bit longer. I'll surely do that one day before, but I got a few more things to do. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised to get home today. And I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm not trying to be mean. And I'm not trying, I'm sure not trying to scare you. But if I could scare the hell out of you right now and pull back 5 seconds of hell, you would run to the one who died and went to hell in your place. So you would never have to smell the brimstone or experience the horrors of hell forever, because he experienced it for you, took your sin and shame and experienced that horror so that you and I wouldn't. And when the claims of justice were satisfied, he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost and ascended on the right hand of the Father. And before he sat down, he came and told us, you go and tell this message. It's called the good news. It's called the gospel. It's called the gospel because it tells man the good news of how God made man right with himself. And it only comes one way, through Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to be a part or join this church. I'm asking you to be a part of the family of God. I'm asking you to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. And then first and foremost, in closing today, I'm asking you, have you ever done that? Because if you haven't, I invite you to do that today. It'll be the greatest thing you ever did. It's 39 years coming up for me in this March, and it's the greatest decision I have ever made in my life. I've never regretted it one moment. I shout about it from the rooftops every day, and I'll never stop until I die or I meet Jesus first. But I invite you today, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, start today with a relationship with him. And many times people say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's why we exist. We exist to win and disciple people to Christ. I'm just simply asking you, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I realize you, just like me, may not know how to do that. So today, I'm going to pray for you and lead you in a prayer where you know when you pray this prayer, you will be right with God. You will be saved. You will receive eternal life. You will be what Jesus calls saved or born again. And he said a man must be in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So all over this place, if you've never been saved, or if at one time in your life you have, but you know that you're not living for him, you've done your own thing. You're going your own way. I say that very sternly, yet I say this compassionately. God understands. He understands where you're at. This is why he's inviting you not to stay there and to make an adjustment. Make a U-turn and turn back to him today. Just like the prodigal son, he came to his senses and he returned to God. He repented of his sins and got things right with God. If you need to return to God today and come back to him and a rededication, a reconsecration of your life, then today is a great day to start anew from the start. I ask, his head's bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying, either to come to Christ or come back to him. Oh, and one last.